Bow hunters are some of the hardest working hunters there are. Most of us work hard all year long just to get a couple weekends or burn our vacation time to sit in a tree. And just like the American blue collar worker, we're trying to balance work, family, faith, and a little time for ourselves in the great outdoors. Now let me introduce you to Trollco Clothing, a brand built by blue collar workers for blue collar workers. Workwear, comfortable tees, hoodies and hats for both men and women, Trollco represents the hardworking American. So whether you're operating heavy equipment, wrenching on engines, or in a factory living that shift life, Trollco has your back, literally. Head to trollco.com/hunting. That's trollco.com/hunting and enter the discount code Empire25 for 25% off of your first order. Trollco, for the hardworking American. This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
We're leaving today and entering a world of Mickey Mouse waving, princess meeting and greeting,
lightsaber clashing,
the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror dropping,
banshee flying,
space mountain launching,
galaxy rewinding,
what is the whole network galaxy rewinding,
fireworks igniting,
world of other worlds, for whatever you love, infinite worlds await at the most magical place on Earth, Walt Disney World Resort.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands for the super athletic stuff, like running gear for cruising up the trail.
Woo!
And the super athlete-ish stuff, like fishing gear for chilling by the creek. Nice cast. Fitness apparel to push for higher reps. You got this. And golf balls priced so you can afford to lose one. Or a few. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athlete-ish, Sierra's got it.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
We do this too, we're bringing that fire. Talking real talk, Kentucky's on fire. From bourbon to ball games, we got that flow. On the We Do This Too podcast, yeah, you know. From country roads to the city lights, they bring the heat, man, every night. We do this too, let's make it clear.
Welcome back, y'all. It's another edition of the We Do This Too Outdoors podcast. And as always, we are presented to you in partnership with brands that we feel represent the very best of the outdoor industry. So before we get started, we'd like to give a special shout out to Moultrie Products, Uhler's Archery, Threads Custom Bowstrings, G5 Outdoors, Blackburn Apparel Company, Deer Pip Scents and Lures, Vision Clothing, Bluebird Waterfowl Company, Angry Chicken Outdoors, Alps Outdoors, and last but certainly not least, a special, special shout out to the good folks over at Briley's for leaving a legacy of shooting innovation. Whether you need new cameras to elevate the scouting experience, new arrows, or anything for your archery setups, clothing, scent, or whatever it may be, as a supporter of the podcast, you can use promo code WDTTPROMO, that's WDTTPROMO, for 15% off anything on the website at ullersarchery.com. Some exclusions may apply. With that being said, let's dive into another episode of the We Do This Too Outdoors podcast with your host, Mr. Courtney Williams.
What's up, guys? Welcome to another edition of the We Do This Too Outdoors podcast. I have got a super, super special guest for y'all today. Some of y'all may know him, some of y'all may not, but y'all will get to know him and his story today. Mr. Josh Carney, a.k.a. Son of the South. How you doing, brother?
Man, Courtney, it's a pleasure to be here, man. I got to say, I'm proud. You've come a long way since we first met, and I'm proud that you're here, man. I'm glad to be on your podcast.
Yeah, dude, I am. Dude, I'm stoked is the only word that I can even come up with to say that. Dude, I've been following you for so long. You are a big inspiration to me in the outdoors, man. The first time we met, I don't know if you remember this. It's the first, I was in college, and my buddy Clay took me to my first NWTF, and we were walking around, and I was just stunned at all the, you know, the calls and all the people that were there. And my buddy Clay's like, dude, you got to go meet this dude, Josh. And like, he's in a wheelchair. He's a black guy, and he can do literally any call that you give him. I'm like, yeah, let's go meet this guy, you know, and I met you. And people were just coming up to you. Hey, man, do a duck call. Hey, man, do a coyote call. Hey, man, do this. And I'm like, dude, this dude is amazing. So once I got home, man, I started doing my research on YouTube or whatever, started deep diving and everything. And I'm just like, wow, man, this guy is really into the outdoors. He's a big inspiration to everybody. And he's just a cool dude, man. And I was like, you're just an awesome guy, man.
Man, you definitely know how to hype me up. I appreciate it, you know. it's being in the outdoor industry, man, that's been a gift to me. I mean, that's such a blessing, just being able to, you know, do those things, inspire people like you, inspire people, you know, all throughout the industry. That, I mean, I've touched a lot of people's lives, and, you know, they give me a message like that. And, you know, I can't stop smiling because, man, that message means a lot to me, you know. Knowing that I'm making a difference and inspiring people and doing something great, that means a lot to me. So thank you for that.
Thank you, man. Like, yeah, you're awesome, man. I remember when I first talked about it, I was going to, you know, do this brand and do this podcast. And I go back and, you know, read your messages that you sent me all the time, just for you taking the time out of your busy schedule just to respond to a little old country boy from Kentucky like me, man. You know, that means the world to me, man. So I definitely appreciate you, brother.
Man, look, here's the deal. I don't consider myself anybody special. I put my pants on the same way everybody else do. I just got to do a little different. I just continue to work hard, strive to make success myself. And, you know, I don't mind sharing success. I want everybody to win. I mean, I don't mind giving a piece of the pie. It's out there for everybody. So you came to me for help, and I gave you the best advice I can give you. And here we are now. I mean, that was back in 2023 when we started that message. And now, 2025. Start a brand new year. Hell yeah, dude. I'm proud to be on this podcast. I'm glad to see you succeed like that. That's awesome.
Well, thank you, man. I appreciate it, man. Well, let's get into it, man. Tell the folks where you're from and how you got into the outdoors.
Oh, so I'm originally from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, born and raised there. I mean, I was a little country kid growing up. I'm still country as cornbread, but I ain't as wild as they used to be. When I was a kid, I mean, at 3 years old, I mean, I would hop in a brush pile with a pair of rabbit dogs and just get after rabbits. I mean, I grew up hunting. I mean, I was a pasture man. That's what I loved. Growing up, just being in the outdoors, that was my drug. I was addicted from the start. And then, you know, that made me into who I am today. You know, I always had those streams of those outdoor influencers, those outdoor, what they call them influencers nowadays. But back in the day growing up, they were, you know, our celebrities, our heroes, you know, those guys you look up to, the Mike Waddells, the Cuz Stricklands, the Jim Shockeys, you know, those people, you know, I looked up to those people. I was like, man, as a kid, I'm like, I'm going to be one of those guys one day. And like my grandmother would call me, she called me Josh Big Time Hunter. And like, I was like, I'm going to be one of those guys one day. And, you know, God heard me. He made a way. He made a way for me to be in that position. And I'm glad to be in that position. And, you know, I'm glad to be able to give back to, you know, people who are trying to grow in that industry. You know, it's a great industry, but it's tough to be in because, you know, it's a rough lifestyle. You're on the road a lot. You know, you got to produce content. You got to show up. You got to be there for a lot of people in a lot of ways. And you got to perform, you know. Like I said, you got your list of sponsors, man. Your intro was great. You know, you got to represent all those companies. That's amazing. You know, that takes big pants to fill. And doing it, it's not for everybody. But I'm glad that you reached out and you succeeded to that point. That's, thank you for that. I'm glad that I could help you get there. But like I said, starting out as a kid, my dream was to get to this point so I could help other people get to this point. And it's here.
It's here. That's awesome, man. Yeah, I just reached out to a lot of these companies, man, and, you know, they love what I was doing and wanted to, you know, kind of help me out a little bit. This year, I kind of got sidelined. I got hurt at work October the 10th, and I've been sidelined. I didn't get to do any hunting this year. I had what they call a major concussion, so every time I stand up, I get real dizzy. Still got pretty bad headaches, so I still got sidelined, but I still made sure to get good content out, my podcast and everything like that, to, you know, hook up these sponsors and everything else. But, you know, I'm like you, man. Like, I was a kid, and I always my passion was the outdoors. I love sports, but I played so many sports when I was little. I didn't get to go hunting a lot as much as I wanted to with my dad, until really like the summertime. So summer and spring, some of the fall, but I got out there as much as I could with my dad, and that was always how I found my peace. I get so bad on the baseball field or the basketball court, I get so angry. But when I went out there hunting those rabbits with my dad, or hunting those quail with my dad, or dove or whatever, that's when I was at peace. And
yeah,
I lost my dad in 14, man, and he was a big fisherman, and that was my fishing buddy. I haven't been really fishing since. I took my son a few times, but
yeah, man, I'm sorry for that.
I appreciate that, man. It's hard to get back out there without him, man. It's just hard, man. So I know sometimes, you know, people are going through some stuff, which you've been through a lot, and we're gonna delve into that a little bit later. But for anybody out there listening, man, if you're going through something, man, just give it over to God. He'll take care of it.
Absolutely. So I'm gonna hop off your part of being sidelined. So I've been sidelined since August of 2022. Right now, if you can see in the background, I'm in a nursing home right now. Like, my life is flipped upside down. It's put me on a sideline for my career. I hadn't hunted since 2022. What happened? Back in 2005. We'll dive into the story here in a bit, but back in 2005, my dad shot me turkey hunting, and I had a bullet fragment in my left shoulder that caused my arm to go paralyzed. I went to the hospital to get it worked on, and I was leaving a trade show, and I was trying to drive home, and my arm just, it failed. Like, I couldn't feel it. And I was like, something's not right. And, man, I just went out next day, got up and kayaked 8 miles. And once we got back to the house, hopped in the shower, and my arm just went completely paralyzed. And I was like, man, this ain't good. Something is bad. Like, my legs don't work. And now one of my arms giving out. Like, we got a situation here. It's bad. So I go to the hospital, and the doctor do a surgery on my back instead of my arm. And I wake up from the anesthetics, and both of my arms paralyzed. I can't feel both my arms. They're numb. I mean, it's a situation. It was living hell at that point. And man, it was rough. It was brutal. You know, I try and have a conversation with, you know, my friends that did come visit, and my pain was so bad, like my body would just go in shock, and you know, they had to pump me with medicine to like put me to sleep because my body was just hurt so bad. Like, I had no control. I mean, it was rough. And then in that process, they didn't bring me proper care. I've had the worst with healthcare here in the last couple of years, but you know, you just put your head, you keep it up and give it to God and you strive forward. But they didn't turn me side to side. So I developed what's called a pressure sore on my back. Well, I dealt with that for a while. And, you know, man, I had to chase doctors. I had to chase doctors to try and get my arms fixed. I had to chase doctors to try and get this hole in my back fixed. Man, it kept getting worse and worse. And I finally got my arms back working fully after a year and a half. And I still had to hold my back. You know, it was getting closed because, you know, stem cells. I went on a big stem cell doc because I wanted to fix myself because, you know, I wasn't getting any help from doctors and I had to figure out a way to get it done. So I took a dive in stem cells and, you know, that was working. It was building my body back. You know, my arms repaired. I got back got back my arms physically and, you know, I'm still trying to figure out how to get this hole closed. And I just, you know, I lost my career. You know, I was doing the hunting shows, traveling, filming, doing that. And once your arms get paralyzed, your legs paralyzed, there ain't much you could do. You sit right there and you pray to God and you ask for a better day. That's it. That's all I could do. You know, I lost all the sponsors. You know, I couldn't do stuff on social media. I mean, I was in a predicament. And, you know, I prayed and just had to get out of it. You know, so I moved forward and I just kept pushing, did therapies, things like that. And finally got all the way back around here to Texas, which is the sixth state that I've been to try and get this hole of my back fixed. And we're finally on the process. We're almost finished up. It's almost healed, you know, thanks to the stem cells. But I had the doctors cut out my back. They had a hole in my back the size of a basketball going all the way down to my spine. And, you know, I had to deal with that. So I'm just finishing. I'm not finished healed up with it yet. They placed me inside of a nursing home and it's not a great place. I'm going to just say that. So if you hear people screaming in the background, I apologize in advance, but you know, I live too far out in the country because like I said, I'm a country boy from down home, so they couldn't send help out to me. So they had to place me where I could get help. Now I'm on an up and up. I'm finishing up my, that wound on my back and I get back on the road. I get back on the road. I start touring February 1st, and I'm getting back in action. So, yeah, I was sidelined for a bit, but, man, it's time for showtime. It's here. It's ready. So yeah. I'm glad to be on your podcast. You're hyping me up to get me back in action because it's been a while, man.
Yeah. Man, that's – I can't even explain or even – man, that's crazy. I didn't know that was your dad that shot you. I never heard that part of the story.
Yeah. So back in 2005, like I said, I grew up hunting. I mean, I born and raised Baton Rouge, Louisiana, man. I chased squirrels and rabbits and every dove. I mean, I love hunting. I was obsessed with it, you know, and I wanted to get to turkey hunting. I seen all these guys on TV turkey hunting, and, you know, they made it look so easy. They get some sticks, they rub them together, and freaking turkey comes running in. It's not that easy. I'm just letting people know it's not that simple.
Yeah, it's not at all.
But they made it look easy. You know, I wanted to do it. You know, I've hunted everything else in Louisiana. I just wanted to check that off my bucket list. So on my first turkey hunt, me and my dad would go to church that Sunday morning. And as a church, you know, I was like, all right, we're going turkey hunt. Let's go. So it's about mid-morning. It's about noon, something like that. And we go to this place where I rabbit hunt, where I grew up hunting. And I sit on a tree and he sits on another tree and I'm facing this way and he's facing directly towards me. And we're calling, there's nothing going on. We didn't know what we were doing. Had absolutely no idea. We bought some calls from Walmart and just tried to make it sound, you know, my dad sounded like a dying rabbit on a turkey call. I sounded like a chicken in a freaking, it was not all. The calling sucked. So, you know, once we, you know, kind of settled down, I saw my dad pick up his gun. It was on the ground. I saw my dad pick up the gun, and then he shouldered it, and he went to shoot, and there was nothing in the gun, so he racked a shell in it, and he shot me. Now, I was laying on a big oak tree. There was a big briar patch to my right. There was no turkey there. My dad shot. My dad tried to kill me at 13. There was no turkey there. God. Dealt with that. He picked me up, you know, brought me, EMS came and picked me up, and, you know, they classified it as a hunting accident because, you know, my dad shot me turkey hunting, but there was no turkey there, you know, but that's part of life. That built me, though. That built me into the character that I am, that helped me get to this day. Where you're talking about the animal sounds, there was a bullet that hit my esophagus, and it allowed me to make animal sounds. So when I was in the hospital, I had a breathing tube down my throat, and the doctor came in and said, you know, you had a bullet that hit your spinal cord. You know, you won't be able to walk again. And I had a trach in my, I had a breathing tube, and they were going to put a trach in because he said that I couldn't use my throat because a bullet hit my esophagus. And when he told me that, I pulled the breathing tube out of my throat, I was like, no, you're wrong. And so it altered my vocal cords to where I have that. It was 13 when it happened, so I never really matured through that. You know, when your voice gets deep at that young age, I didn't finish that process because I had that breathing tube down my throat. So with that, it allowed me to make certain pitches that I could do as a kid, that high vocal pitch and still that low graspy pitch. I didn't know what gift I had. I had no clue. I went to a trade show. I think this was back 2013, probably summer 2013. I went to a trade show, and this guy was trying to sell me a turkey call. I mean, I'd never been to like a trade show. I had no idea what it was, how it was going to be. So this guy was trying to sell me a turkey call. I was like, man, listen, I don't want it. I got bad history of turkey hunting. I don't want it. And he's pushy. He's like, here, try it. But I was like, man, I can do that with my mouth. And I was just a cocky kid that knew that I could do anything I put my mind to. And I was it. I was cocky. And the guy was like, all right, you can do this with your mouth and do it. And I was like, all right. My throat's a little dry right now, but I mean, I did the same exact call that he was running in his hand with my vocal cords. And the guy was like, wait, was that you? He's like, no, that's that kid. And the guy pointed at me and he's like, man, that's good. Like, what else can you do? I was like, I don't know. I just learned it 10 minutes ago. Like, you taught me. I don't know what I can do. So I went around the trade show and I had some other call companies, and, you know, they had turkey calls and duck calls and goose calls. And one of the guys like, man, like, you're really good on the turkey calls. I mean, I just rolled around a trade show, like, making this newfound sound that I just discovered 5 minutes ago. And people, like, stopped me, like, man, that's good. Like, you're good. I'm like, all right, cool. Thank you. I don't know what I'm doing. I had no clue what I was doing, you know? And a guy stopped me, and he was like, can you do a goose call? I was like, I don't know. What's it sound like? And then he did it on a goose call, and I was like, man, I don't know. And I was like, what word are you saying when you're doing your goose call? He's like, just say Coke or say bark or something like that. I was like, all right, so I learned how to take a word and break it into syllables. So, and it's weird how I'm going to explain it, but say bark.
Bark. Say bark.
All right, bark.
Bark.
Slow it down. Bark.
Bark.
All right, so now you're starting to get there. I'm about to teach you how to do a Canada Goose right here on your own podcast. First Sweet. Time ever. I've never done this for anybody. So, the way I explain it, it's a capital B-A-A-A-A-R-R-R, capital K, so high-pitched K. Bark. 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 So do you hear the cap of the bar?
Dude, that's bark. Insane.
Yeah, yeah. So,
dude, that's so sick, bro.
I learned how to break the word down, like find a word and just break it down into an animal sound. And, you know, I was like, man, like, that's cool. A lot of people liked it at this show. I was like, all right, cool. That's fine. So I got on, I was driving somewhere. I was going to the feed store, pick up some feed of horses. And I was like, you know, I'm going to post a video about me saying that I'm going turkey hunting. Like, I'm going to have a good turkey season. And I just posted this silly, stupid video on social media. And it went crazy. I'm like, what is going on here? Like, I guess I sound good. I have no idea. My first turkey hunt, I got shot. I have no idea what I'm doing. Like, is this good? And just people just like flooded to my social media. Like, dude, like, you can call. Like, that's good. What else can you do? And people started sending me these challenges. It's called Carney Call Challenge. It's still on Facebook if you type it in. And like, there's these videos of people calling me out to do animal sounds. And they'd send one in and they give me 24 hours to do a video, send it back. So that's how I learned how to make animal sounds. Like, people put me on a 24-hour call challenge. And I had to figure out how to make an animal sound within 24 hours. perfect it and then send it back in a video. So that was how I started my internet season. All right. So one of those people that met me through that time frame reached out to me, my buddy Rob. He's a brother to me. He was like, you need to go to the ATA show. I was like, man, I don't even know what that is. It was the Archery Trade Association show.
Yeah.
This is where all the big sponsors, all the outdoor celebrities, like everybody that I looked up to on TV, those companies, like the whole nine yards is at this show. And I was like, okay. Another girl, she's a great friend of mine, Kirsten, she reached out. She's like, man, you're good. If you're at ATA show, like, let's meet and hang out. I say, that's fine. And I go to this show, and I have no idea what I'm doing, what I'm getting into, nothing. I just know that I'm going to some kind of convention. So get to the show. I meet up with, you know, Carson and Rob, you know, because that's the only people I know at the show. So we go around the show, and we're going down this aisle, and I look over, and I see Jim Shockey. And I freaking have a schoolgirl moment. Like, I'm like, man, it's Jim Shockey. Like, dude, I just got chills, man. And she was like, do you want to meet him? I was like, no, he's busy. Like, I'm like, hell no. Like, I'm shy. Like, that's freaking Jim Shockey. So she introduces her. Jim, this is Josh. Josh, this is Jim. And, dude, I'm freaking out. Like, I'm calm on surface. I'm freaking out. Like, I'm like, this is the legend. This is Jim Shockey. And Carson was like, hey, Josh, do your goose call for Jim Shockey. I'm like, no, I just got to make silly animal sounds. This guy don't want to hear me make an animal sound. And I did it. I made a goose call in front of Jim Shockey, and it was Jim Shockey. Spooks Man was in a group, and I started making animal sounds. She's like, all right, do this sound. Do another sound. So I just started making all these animal sounds, and, you know, these people that I looked up to growing up are sitting here crowded around me. And I'm like, what on earth is happening right now? You know? And then I took off at that show. I mean, I had radio interviews, podcasts, people like filming me for the show. Like, by the time I got home, like, my social media exploded. I was like, man, what happened? Like, I had no idea what happened. I had no clue. And I was like, all right, we're going somewhere now. Like, I just introduced myself to the people that are my heroes that I look up to. We're going somewhere now, okay? How do we move it from here? So I just kept posting the videos because I knew that's what got me in that position. Kept posting the videos, just telling my story, showing my day, posting silly little things, showcasing me hunting, just getting out there in my chair and just grinding it out, just making success for myself. And, you know, that aspect of it, you know, it put me in the scene to where it built me. And then after that, I went to a National Wild Turkey Federation show, and I did the same thing over again. I'm in front of all these people making sounds in the, you know, the big company booths, and I'm making all these sounds, and I'm gathering crowds of people around me, and people like, man, like, who is this guy? Like, is he sponsored? Like, do we need to sign him? Like, what's the deal? And I mean, I called my way into success. That's the craziest way to say it, but that I called my way into success, you know. When I was a kid, I called it. I was like, I'm going to be like that guy when I grow up. And then I go to these shows, and, you know, now I'm that guy, you know. And it's cool. I got to say, it's cool being around, you know, your idols, and your idols are your friends. And, you know, you get to be around people that look up to you, and you're an idol to somebody. And, you know, you can, you know, do something to help someone's life and make it better and be an inspiration and value to somebody. Man, that's worth it. That's working. Yeah, for me.
I agree. So this year, well, this past year, last February, is the first time I got to meet Michael Waddell for the first time.
Isn't he great?
And I was having a fanboy moment. I was trying to get my words together, and Nick was standing right there. So me and Nick and Mike are sitting there having a conversation. I handed him my business card. Told him about my brand. He said, man, I wish I could sit here and talk to you for an hour. He said, I know there's a lot of people, but, you know, I talked to him for about 15 minutes and gave him my card. And he said, man, I love what you're doing. Keep doing it. He said, if I can help you in any way, let me know. And it was just music to my ears. So I was just like, I just got to talk to Michael Waddell. I've been watching him since I was a kid. And Daddy Waddell was there too, you know, his dad. I got to talk to him, and I was like, dude, this man is like what people, most people say he is. He's just like super down to earth, yeah, country boy.
Oh yeah.
And he loves the outdoors, man. But you said something right in there that my grandmother used to say a lot. I think it's one of your quotes on Instagram. It says, life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you react to it.
That is the absolute truth. I mean, so you can,
grandma used to say that.
Here's the deal. You can let life knock you down, or you can just take the punches and be a better character. I mean, like, life is meant to build you. I mean, like, it's going to throw roller coasters at you, but it's meant to turn you into a person. It's either going to make you a better person or a worse person. It all depends on how you react to it. But, you know, life is life. Everybody has, you know, a different life. They go through different things. You know, I don't question God why, you know, I was shot and put in a wheelchair. You know, that's my life. But my life is being used to help other people, inspire other people. Like now I have a nonprofit where we're taking kids, you know, with disabilities on outdoor trips. They get to go hunting, fishing, horseback riding. You know, I got to do that because I dreamed of this life as a kid and I built it. And now I get to give it back to kids who have that same want and dreams. You know, that's the freaking coolest thing ever. But it took me going through that 10% and using that 90% for me to get here. Just grinding it out, just absolutely going for it and not letting anything hold me back.
Right. Yeah, that's the thing, man. A lot of people that have had so-called accidents like you had wouldn't be as enthused as you are. Like the way that I look at it, it might be the wrong way to look at it, but you know, God closed the door for you, but he opened up a window.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Like he made something bad, maybe for the reason, like you said, to help other people out. Like my grandmama always said not to question God because his master plan is way bigger than what we can even fathom. Absolutely. So maybe that was just your course that was meant for you, was to get shot, get paralyzed so that you could help other people.
So here's the thing, you know, I see God as a comical. He's comical. I mean, he will have a plan and he will change that plan in an instant. You'll just look at it like, I never saw that coming. You know, so my legs were taken away from me back in 2005. You know, this is 2025, 20 years later. You know, I'm working with companies. I mean, like I said, I've built my success in industry and, you know, and outside, you know, I've worked with people in the medical state to help other people. So I'm working on getting my legs back here in 2025 through stem cells. So I just fixed my back and now we're going to go through the process of getting stem cells in my spinal cord and just go through the whole process to regain that back. So, you know, I don't look at it as like, you know, he took that away from me. No, I still have my legs. He just put me on pause for a second because he knew that he had another mission for me later down the road, but he had to build me within that time frame for me to do what he needed me to do. You know, we don't see it at the time. It may be a 20-year plan for some people, you know, maybe 30. I mean, he made what the Israelites wait in the desert for 40 days. You know, because they didn't have their mind right. You know, you might not have your mind right, and he may have to make you wait on it. I mean, I'm stubborn. It took me this while to find it because I'm bullheaded. But, like, it got me to that point of, like, we're here. You know, I got baptized last year. I'm like, God, take the wheel. It's yours. And that was the greatest thing I've ever done. You know, he's put more in my lap than I deserve, man. And he's allowing me to do it and give it back to people. You know, I build my success. God built my success, and he's using it so I can give back to people and help other people, you know, help people. It's like a domino's effect. But like I said, it took that incident 20 years ago to happen for me to get to this point here today to help people not go through that 20-year drought.
That's right, man. Like, as a religious man, I know you're very familiar with the story of Job.
Oh, yeah.
You're kind of like a modern day Job, you know.
That's funny you say that because I absolutely am the modern day Job. You know,
took everything from you, and then you know, as much as, you know, Joe got taken away from him, he still had that faith at the end of the day. He was like, you know, I'm a rock with God no matter what, man. And that's a very positive way to look at it, because a lot of people wouldn't have gone that same route, you know.
Yeah. I mean, the devil said, hey, listen, like, who can I tempt? He's like, I'm going to send you Job, man. Like, at 13 years, like, I died twice when I was in the hospital. I mean, I saw the light and I saw the ear replacement. I went through that experience. And as a kid, as 13 years old. And I mean, he's like, all right, God's like, I got a plan for you. I'm like, all right, what is it? I'm bullheaded, but I'm listening. You might have to guide me in other directions, but I hear you. Where are we going? What's it going to take? And I mean, he put me on a road. He was like, I'm going to show you places that you've never seen before. I'm going to get you out of this place here. I'm going to take you somewhere else because I got a mission for you. It may be in North Carolina. It may be in Wisconsin. It may be here, but I'm going to put you on a road because you have a gift that I need to show. And now it's time to do it. So here, listen to me, follow the plan, and let's go. And he guided me the whole way, man. He still guided me. Yeah, I'm blessed with life. I can't complain about it.
That's awesome, man. And how long did it take you to get to a mindset like that? Like, did it take a while, or was it like one of those things, like you were mad at God for a while, or
how did that
come about? Because, like, I'm not gonna lie to you, man. If I was in your shoes, it'd be hard for me to find the will to wake up every morning.
Yeah, man, it was very hard. So, you know, growing up after I got shot, like I didn't have a good household. I had a very abusive household. You know, parents would fight. You know, going through a divorce, they're trying to fight over custody. You know, my mom was worse than my dad. I mean, she beat the shit out of me with a pipe and fractured my pelvis after my dad shot me and paralyzed me. You know, I had to go through the system, and man, I went through hell as a kid. You know, and that molded me and built me to cherish life, and just that started my mindset. You know, that put me in a mindset to just like, hey, like I'm a kid and I'm going through all this, but I got to find a way out of it. So that started building my mindset of like, hey, if I can get to the next day, I'm winning. If you finish the day, you're winning. You wake up the next day, you're winning. And I just started building that mindset young. And you know, as I got older, you know, life threw different things at me and challenged. And, you know, everything that's a test is led for a testimony, you know. So I just started developing myself because I was so low. Like, man, when I grew up, like I felt like I was a burden to everybody. So I didn't want to be around anybody. So I stayed to myself. I mean, it's like, hey, I got to work on me. I got to find me. Like, I got to figure out who the hell I am, because right now, I just feel like I'm a burden to everybody, and I don't want to be around nobody. So I took off, and I started building myself. You know, I started, you know, that's where that 10% and 90% comes from, because, man, I had people that was just like, nope, I don't want to take you hunting because, you know, you're in a wheelchair. We can't do it because of your chair. I mean, I had people make a lot of excuses for me growing up because they didn't want to deal with me. So I would go hunting by myself. Man, there were times where I got in some sticky situations. You know, being in a wheelchair and hunting solo, that's rough at times. I've had the battery die in my chair. I'm stuck in the middle of the woods. I crawled 300 yards to my stand just to go hunting. I've gotten stuck in mud. I got to crawl back to the truck to hook it up to the truck to pull it out. Man, I've been in some situations, you know, just by being disabled and being in a chair. But, you know, those things, it built character. Like, I had the will to do it, and I was going to do it no matter what. And, you know, that built me into getting to go to those shows and be in a position I am. Like, I didn't quit because I set my mind on something. Like, I was a kid with a dream, and I was going to make it happen no matter what. Like, there was no changing. I didn't hang around friends. I didn't have anything. The only thing I had was a dream, and I knew that I had to chase it. So I stuck to it, you know. So that built a lot of my mindset. And, you know, once I started getting around, you know, older people and like really listening to older people and studying them, you know, it's like, man, like there's wisdom there. Like, let me start listening. So I started listening to people. I listened to my elders, you know, growing up as a kid, you know, I'm a kid from the South. Like, if you didn't listen to your elders, like you got spanked.
Absolutely.
So I took that advice of listening to your elders, and you know, that helped build a lot of my mindset, you know. And as I got older, I got to the motivational speaking, And then I started doing, you know, appearances and just telling people like how to enjoy life, because, and I don't have a bad life. Like, people may think I have a bad life because I have a not so great situation or what it looks like, but dude, I do whatever I want when I want. Like, I'm my own boss. Like, I do whatever I want. I have fun in life. You know, if I want to pick up and go fishing tomorrow morning, I go fishing. If I want to go hunting, I can do that. But, you know, it took me building a mindset of do not quit, move on, no matter what happens, no matter how bad it gets, the worst thing of your life, you've already faced it. I mean, and that's the truth. You know, being shot and paralyzed, that was the worst thing that I could face. I mean, at that time, that's about as bad as it gets. I don't know if it get any worse besides death. And I was like, you've already beat that. Now let's finish winning. The only thing you're doing now is you're challenged. Accept the challenge, get over it, and let's win. And I just got focused on winning.
Right. Man, that's a hell of a testimony, man. Yeah, I hope somebody out there hears this and like just runs with it, because like I said, man, you're a motivation for a lot of people, man. And it's, you know, a lot of people in your shoes, man, they would have just gave up hope a long time ago and, you know, possibly, you know, committed suicide or something like that, just because of the cards they were dealt, man. But just to hear your story and how you overcame that and the positive outlook that you have on life, man, that is, dude, that's, I love it. It's awesome, man. I'm so proud of you, man.
Man, I appreciate it. You know, I just, it's one of those things, you know, like I said, life throws you the cards that you deal with. The only thing you got to do is play them. If you play your hand right, you win. But, I mean, I had my time when I was just mad at God. Like, if you love me, why would you do this to me? And, you know, when you ask questions like that, you will get the answer. You may not hear it right then and there, but you're getting that answer. But, you know, I went through that. I'm not going to say God did it to me. He allowed it to happen because he knew what the purpose was, what the long-term goal is, like where I was going to be, you know, in the end game or in the, you know, through the whole process. So, you know, I don't question God. I just go with the flow and, you know, I enjoy the ride. You know, I'm grateful for every day. Wake up, I got breath in my lungs, my heart's beating. I'm grateful. That's it. We can keep going with it.
Yeah, man. I was, like I said, in 2014, I lost my pops. And, dude, I was mad at God for a while. And it was, you know, was that a brutal time where I really, really needed his advice and needed some of his wisdom. And it's just like, you knew I needed him. Like, why did you take him from me? And I was upset, man. I was mad, kind of turned my back, got to drinking pretty bad, everything. And I don't drink anymore, thank the Lord. But it was just one of them things, man. Like, I just couldn't shake it. And finally, I was like, Lord, like, why did you do this? And basically told me, like, hey, I needed him more than you did down there. He was suffering and in a better place now. And everything that he taught you, you know, you're a good guy, you're a good kid, you're a good man. You're going to, you know, teach all that to your son. And I have, you know, my trying to teach him everything that my dad taught me, trying to be a good dad to him, trying to be a good husband to my wife, man. It's just, it took me a while to get out of that rut, man. And it's hard. And I'm not going to lie, somebody out there that might have just lost a parent or a kid or somebody, something out there, you know, it's hard. And it's going to take a while to get over. And you'll probably never get over it. You just find ways to cope with it. Is the way I feel like, you know. But you people know, in your story, man, it's just, dude, your story is amazing, man. It's crazy.
I appreciate it. You know, going back off what you just said, you know, you turn from God when he did that, man. There was a point in my life where I did that too. I knew God. I knew of God, but I didn't know God, you know. And I mean, I turned into, man, I had success. I had the fame. I had all that stuff. And, you know, man, I went to partying, you know, went to drinking every night, chasing women and all that stuff here, man. I was like, man, like, I'm living lifestyle. Like, this is it, you know. And, you know, God slowed me down because he knew he had a different path for me. Like, I was spiraling, just trying to cope for whatever's going on. And that's when I lost mobility in my arms. Like, I mean, both my arms went paralyzed. Like, he was like, you won't listen to me. I'm going to stop you. I'm going to make you listen to me. And I didn't question it. You know, that ego that I had, that pride that I had. I mean, he broke me down. He was like, I got your attention now. And, like, sometimes you have to go through that just to hear what he means, you know. Some people, it may be death. I mean, for me, it was losing my arms. But, you know, there's value in that. You know, every pain, every moment of pain, it has purpose. You know, there's a lesson and a blessing in everything that happens in life. You know, we may not see it at the time why it happened, but, you know, just keep searching for God. You'll find an answer. He'll give it to you. You know, he'll give you a reason for everything. You just got to keep finding, keep searching it.
Yeah, that's the truth, man. Like I said, when I lost my pops, man, it took a while. But once I actually started praying again, getting the Bible, you know, more, and, you know, I found those answers that I was looking for. And, yeah. You know, it might have not been the answers I was looking for, you know, but, you know, I got answers, and finally brought me comfort and brought me some peace. And even now, man, I can go out to, you know, my ground blind where I hunt, and some of those places that me and Dad used to rabbit hunt a lot, I can feel his presence there. Like, hey, son, I'm okay. You know, you're doing a good job. You know, I just feel that, like, his presence there, and it's a good presence. It's not like something I want to run from. Like, you can tell it's to help you and kind of comfort you. So, but yeah, man, it's. Do you still, this might be a bad question to ask, but do you still have some type of relationship with your father after all that?
I don't have a relationship with either one of my parents, and it wasn't, you know, it was way more than that. Like I said, you know, I grew up in an abusive household. You know, my dad is a carpenter by trade. You know, he wouldn't even build me a ramp to get in the house. I mean, it took like a year for me to get a ramp, and, you know, it wasn't even usable for me. Like, you know, there were things that were done, you know, that I was neglected as a kid. You know, I wasn't given the care from a parent, you know, especially one that shot you. Another one's trying to, you know, beat you to death. I mean, I wasn't given that love and care that I needed. So, you know, once I got to the point of being an adult, I started cutting ties just because they never changed their ways. You know, still the same people, and I don't want to be associated with that. You know, they added value to my life when I was growing up. You know, I learned lessons from those situations. It built my character. You know, it helped me become the man that I am today. But I don't associate with them because, you know, I still have to find forgiveness, you know. And that's something that I'm not at that point. You know, there's still issues that we're going through. You know, I see my mom 2 years ago, and the last time I seen her, you know, my dog got killed because of her, and she wanted to start a fight in the street. She just about got a shot and killed in the damn street. And, you know, I don't want to be around that, you know, and just, that's not my environment. You know, I live, like, I've built the motivation, I built the inspiration, like, I built a happy life, you know, so I don't want to be around people that are trying to take it away from me. You know, I built my success. My dad tries to attach himself to it and act like he built it and helped me do it. He wasn't present, but he tells people that, and, you know, my mom does everything that she wants to do to try and destroy it. You know, she envies me. She doesn't like the fact that what I do and my success, and I don't want to be around people that, I want to be around where I'm celebrated, you know? So I don't have a relationship with my parents.
I understand that, man. Well, I hope it, maybe one day, man, you'll find that peace, you know, within. If it happens, it happens. If it don't, it don't. You know, it's one of them things, man. You deserve peace too. You know what I'm saying?
Man, I make it look easy, but my life has been hard. I gotta find peace, and I search for it. You know, that's why I'm in the outdoors so much. That's why I'm around nature, because, man, you can find so much peace just being out in nature. You know, I'm a very busy guy. I got a lot of things that are on my plate. You know, things get stressful, but, man, I love being on the road, seeing different sceneries, and just seeing the country. Like, that's peace for me. Like, the other day, I went for a drive and went back home, and I'm in Texas Hill Country. I mean, it is the most gorgeous country I've ever seen in my life. You know, you got those sunsets going over those canyons, and man, it's just beautiful. You know, and that's where I find peace. So I chase peace wherever I go, and I just try to be successful in anything I do.
Yeah. What part of Texas are you in?
Blanco, Texas.
Gotcha. Because I got a lot of homies that basically all of my closest friends that I talk to on a daily basis besides my best friend are in Houston, Texas, Texarkana, or Galveston. They're all like right in there. And my wife's been trying to get me to get on a plane because I don't fly. I drive about everywhere because I'm scared to death to get on a plane. She's like, you need to get down there and see your boys. And I'm just like, if somebody goes with me, I said, somebody's got to go with me because I ain't getting on a plane by myself. So,
man, so, a plane.
I'm going to have to add you to that list, man, to come down there and see you, man. Because, I mean, Texas, it seems like that's the place to be. So,
come on. I mean, and heck, I mean, if you're going, I'll be in Nashville for NWTF here February 14th through 16th. You're right there in Kentucky. Come on down to the show. You don't have to wait to catch a flight.
We come every year. I ain't missed that show. I haven't missed that show since I met you.
Man, that's my absolute favorite show. I love that show, and that's my breadboard. I do a lot of shows, but that show there, that's the one that hits home for me. I guess it's got something to do with the relationship with Turkey Hunt, but man, I just love being gathered around people that just want to talk turkey and just love it and just want to share those turkey pictures and run those calls, yeah. Man. That's my favorite show out of all.
Yeah, it's fun, man. I enjoy it. Just meeting people, meeting the people that you see on TV all the time. You get to go up and talk to them or whatever, and then just hearing those turkey sounds and hearing them duck sounds. When you're walking in, you know, I took my son for the first time last year, man, and I don't think I'll ever be able to go without him again, man. People was giving him turkey calls, duck calls, hats, like stickers, man. He had an absolute ball until, you know, he was walking around so much, you know, his little feet kind of gave out and his legs got to hurt. And, Daddy, I'm tired. I said, yeah. I said, it'll happen walking around these, you know, these big booths, but – for me, it was just kind of going down there and networking and trying to, you know, connect with some people and whatever. And so far, it's worked out. So I appreciate everybody that's, you know, on this platform with me and listening to my shows every week and getting on my YouTube channel. Like, I can't tell you how much it means to me, man. I really appreciate y'all. So,
man, you got to do it for the fans, you know. I mean, I say fans, but, you know, I look at the people that follow me as, you know, people that they invest in me because they believe in me, you know, they follow me for a reason. You know, I want to make sure that I give them that, you know, I give them that inspiration and motivation. I give them that support that they're looking for, because, you know, if it wasn't for you guys, I wouldn't be where I am, you know? So yeah, you giving a shout out to the fans, man, that's the greatest thing ever. Like, because you can say that, like, man, like I built this here and I have an audience that pays attention to me because I have value. I'm giving the value. I'm doing something great for the world. I'm doing something great for other people. You know, that's something to hold inside your heart and be like, man, that's the greatest feeling ever. I get to help people for a living.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. I love it. And hopefully I can continue doing it, man. And till I die, you know, if I get famous, I get famous. But if I don't, I don't. You know, if I could just help that one person out there that was like me growing up, that didn't see anybody like us, on TV, you know, it might give them that motivation to start something too, you know, to leave to their kids and their grandkids, man. That was the mindset for me first starting out. It's still my mindset. Never seen anybody like me growing up on TV. You know, it was always the Michael Waddells, the T-Bones, and Cuz Stricklands. I didn't see any of the, you know, like the Josh Carneys out there, or, you know, the Jim Caesars of the world, or anybody like that, you know. And it's awesome to see that now. I think the narrative is changing a little bit in this outdoor industry, and I'm loving it. I'm loving to see it.
Man, I think here's the thing. Yeah, I mean, for me, I've been it. I've seen both sides of it. I mean, it just, honestly, man, I think that communities just get this click tight niche, and they just don't want to get out of that bubble, get out of that circle, and, you know, diverse and dive into other things and just join and build something together. It's all about it's all about me. Like, it's all about again benches and, you know, what can you do for me? Instead of it's, and I'm from the South. You help your neighbor out, you help people out. You know, and I think the reason why it's the way that it is because, you know, it's a lot of envy inside of it because, you know, I want to stay with this clique here just because they're this way here, you know, and that's what's ruining it. I mean, we have plenty of space for everybody to dive into. Anybody that wants being outdoors, you can do it. There's public land all across this great country. I mean, you got a cell phone, you got a camera. All you got to do is promote yourself, get in front of it, and preach a good message. It doesn't matter what color you are or group you are. It doesn't matter, you know, what you identify as long as you can put out a good message and you're presentable and you're doing something good for the outdoor community. Yeah, that space is completely open. But, you know, it doesn't need to be looked at as, you know, I'm only going to stick to this brand because this brand here is the only thing for me. You know, it's there's plenty of it out there for everybody. Join together, build teams, build communities, do something for each other and make something happen, because hunting, it's a dying thing. The tradition of it's going, you know, there's so many people out there that hate hunters and hate the aspect of what we do. You know, as a hunter, we're not just out there killing animals. I mean, we're conservationists. We make sure that the land is taken care of. We give them better food, better nutrition. Like, we're more worried about the animals than we are about our spouses, our kids, and our dang old dogs. I mean, right. As hunters, we put in a lot of money to go chase an animal, you know, just because that's what we love. It's not an abuse thing. It's a matter of passion. You know, we go do it because we're bringing food home to our families. You know, we're doing it because, you know, we're sharing the meat with, you know, John down the road who can't do it. You know, people that are older that can't get out to hunt. I mean, I remember going on a hunt in Georgia, and, you know, it was a meat hunt because the lady, she lost her husband, and, you know, she was struggling to revive her family. So we went down there and we killed a couple of deer just so she had food for her family. You know, that's what you do for people. Like, that's why we have space inside the outdoor community. We need more of that. If you can help anybody out and give a good message and do good for your another brother or sister, that's it.
Right.
But I mean, like I said, it's just, it's a lot of people that just don't want to get out of their ways, and it makes it catty. It's like high school, man.
Like high school. Yes, that's exactly what I was about to say.
Yeah. But like I said, there's plenty of room for the outdoor space. I mean, I made it being black and handicapped and making animal sounds. You know, I mean, if anybody had the cards dealt that shouldn't have been in that scene, it should have been me. If I can make my way in and I can make my way to the top and stay at the top for 11 years now, spot's open. You just got to want it. You got to want it bad enough to go out there and do it and make a difference for people. Doing it for yourself and for selfish reasons so you can be, you know, seen and build your egos to be a professional hunter. The bad news is there is no such thing as a professional hunter in the United States. We're not doing anything that somebody else can't do. You know,
right.
I get it. Just because we're on TV and we're on, you know, these social media platforms, that's work for us. I mean, same way you go to your job, that's a job for us. It's work. But we're doing it because we're adding value to the people that watch us. You know, we're showing what hunting is about. We're showing what conservation is about. We're showing the friendships around a campfire. You know, we're showing like how to help people. You know, that's the mission. The mission's not to be famous. That has nothing to do with it. People that want to be famous, that's because they have an ego.
Right. Yes. There is
no such thing as being famous in the outdoor industry. They're successful, but I don't think people in the outdoor industry are famous. You know, we are all hardworking individuals that just like to hunt, and our career just lets us be on TV. You know? Heck, famous is the Rock Johnson. That's famous.
Yeah, Rock. That's, you know, famous. Yeah.
Little old Josh Carney sitting in a deer blind hunting deer. That ain't famous. I mean, that's just me going out doing what I enjoy, and I get to share with people who enjoy what I do and enjoy me for the message that I bring. That's just success.
Right. Yeah, that's a hell of a way of looking. That's the truth, man. You're preaching now. You're preaching.
I didn't want to put my church shoes on in his podcast. If we dive in, we can dive in.
Hey, we can go as long as you need to, man. I'll let you take hold, Pastor Carney.
Oh man,
coming Woo. To you right now.
I feel it.
The Come doors on. Of the church are open.
Woo! Oh man.
Come on to the altar.
Man, I remember growing up in Baptist churches, man. I used to be a choir boy growing up. Man, I used to love going to church and singing. I was all about it, you know. So I love a good preaching service. So I could put one out here on the show, you know.
You was choir boy from Five Heartbeats, huh?
Oh yeah. But listen, I wanted to grow up and I wanted to be the Temptations, so I had to move. I had to make a transition.
I understand that, man. That's funny, man. That's hilarious. Heck yeah, man. But yeah, I'm going to change gears here a little bit. I got a couple of hypothetical questions here to ask you.
Just Let's to get go. Your...
So, hypothetically speaking, you've got somebody that had an incident like yours. Basically, they're trying to get back to where they're not hating God, where they're trying to get back to a place of peace, trying to get back to a normal life. What first piece of advice would you give them to kind of get out of that rut that they're in?
Accept the fact that it's not a normal life anymore. It's not. Your life changed. It's altered. You got to accept that. If you lost something, you don't have it anymore. You got to accept that for right now. You just got to move forward to figure out how to fix it. Until you can figure out how to fix it, you're not down to yourself. You're going to beat yourself up. That's not going to solve anything. It's not going to fix any problems. Being mad at God, that's fine as long as you're talking to him. You can scream at him. You can yell at him. It doesn't matter as long as you're talking to him. He'll give you an answer some kind of way. You know, for me, I had to go alone, and I just had to, you know, be alone. You know, I couldn't be around people who couldn't understand my situation because they weren't in it. So I didn't take advice from those people. You know, it's easy for someone to say, oh, cheer up. You'll be okay. It's a better day. You can't say that to somebody if you're never in their shoes. You know, so for me, to answer that question, you know, accept the fact that this is the card you're dealt and figure out how to play your hand. And make sure you win. Get addicted to winning. Celebrate the wins. If you woke up that morning, that's a win. Celebrate it. Give yourself a pat on the back. If you woke up and you made the perfect pot of coffee, celebrate it. That's a win. You know, you got breath in your lungs, you got your heart beating. That's a win. Celebrate it. Until you get to the point to where you're not mad at God anymore, you can say, God, thank you. Celebrate it. And then after that point, continue to thank him because he'll keep blessing you.
That's right. Ed'll preach. He's preaching, y'all. I hope y'all listening. He's preaching. All right, man. Hypothetical question number two. You basically, let's say you got a male, 15, 16 years old. He comes from pretty shattered background, one parent household, pretty bad neighborhood, let's say Baltimore area. He wants to get into the outdoors. He sees us on TV and wants to get into it, but he's got gangs after him. He's got all these different people after him, but he's trying to make a new life and something that can keep him out of jail or possibly keep him out of the graveyard. What advice would you give him?
Yep, that's a great one. So let's do it like this. So you're not a product of your environment. You can move and change your location, change who you are. If you truly don't want to be in that situation, pack your bags and move. Figure out a way how to get out of the environment and go somewhere where it's safe. If you don't want to be around the gangs, get away from it. If you don't want to be around violence and people that treat you bad, get away from it. God gave you 2 feet. Get to step and figure out where you need to be to find your place. You know, if you want to be inside this industry, you know, get away from the things that are going to put you in a bad place. You got to understand this is a job. This is a business. You got to understand how to get after it. You got to grind. You know, for me, I work. I was telling a pastor friend of mine this year, actually a couple hours ago before we got on this call. I was like, man, I operate 4 different ways. I operate like an influencer because I want to please the audience. I want to please my crowd. I want to bring value. I want to have something to that person. So you have to think about the audience that you're presenting to and not yourself. You know, you got to remove yourself from the whole situation and preach to those people. If you want to be successful in the industry, you got to start with an audience. If nobody doesn't know you, nobody's going to know you. You got to get out there and you got to make a name for yourself. So getting out of that environment where you're just drowning, get a place where you can catch your breath and you can start working on you and start working towards something that is going to build you and not kill you. After that, figure out where you want to be. What are you passionate about? If it's hunting, go for it. Stick to the hunting scene. If it's fishing, go for it. Stick to it. But don't quit. Grind out. It's going to get tough. It's going to get brutal. There's going to be times when you're broke. There's going to be times, man, I've been homeless more times than I realize. But I always figured out a way to come back and make it for myself because I wanted to be out of an environment that wasn't good for me. Man, it's a grind. You got to go after it, and you just got to stay hungry for it. I mean, people can get in your ear and tell you, hey, man, you're not going to do it. You're not worth it. Your content sucks. You're blah, blah, blah. Just people are going to run their mouth. Don't let it get to you. Put it in your heart and don't let it get to your head. Chase after with whatever you got inside your heart and just know that you're doing it for a reason and stick to it. At the end of it, if you give it all you got and you stay on your grind and you do things clean and stay successful and you're helping people and you're doing a mission and you're providing value, you're going to be successful. Just stay in it and grind it out. Man, I'm so proud. I'm preaching tonight, man.
You good, dog. You go ahead. Pastor Carney. The collection bag is being passed around right now.
Come on.
The offering is being passed around.
Come on.
Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody.
Oh, man. I'm in a hot seat tonight. What's the next question? Give me another hypothetical. I'm feeling it tonight.
Hey, next question is, man, this is an easy one. If you can hunt anywhere for anything, where are you going and what you hunting for?
Man, that is not an easy one. That's probably the hardest question that I can ask. Oh, man. Man, I'm a big turkey hunter, but, you know, I've traveled all over the country. I mean, this year here, I'm going to New Zealand. I'm going out of country for the first time. I'm going to New Zealand to hunt tar and stag, and I think it's chamois is what it's called, but I don't know, man. There's places that I want to go. There's places that I'm looking at, you know. I was supposed to go to hunt Australia and Africa in the year that I had all this incident happen. So I can't really answer the question. My vision is too big for me to settle down and say I'm stuck to one place, one. I don't know, man. But I tell you what. I tell you what hunt I'm excited about or what hunts I'm excited about. We're going to go down to Florida. We're going to meet up with Python Cowboy, and we're going to go hand grab pythons. So I'm excited about that. Man, hear me out.
So, I'm hearing. I'm listening.
So I went noodling with my sister, Allison. I went noodling. Okay. And if you guys know what noodling is, it's when you get in a big lake and you stick your arm in a hole and you want a catfish to bite you. Man, that is probably the scariest thing that you will ever do in your life until you actually do it. And it is the funnest thing you ever do. So, and
if you want some videos of it, go find Hannah Barron on Instagram or Facebook because her and her dad Jeff do a whole lot of it.
Yeah, I got a really cool video on TikTok that, you know, it went viral because, man, it was a thing for me. My first time getting in a hole and getting bit, I was like, this ain't black people stuff. Like, we don't do this. Man, it was crazy, dude. And like, I mean, like the fish bit me and like it was a drilling rush. So I was like, man, that's cool. Let's go to the next one. And then like I did that for a couple seasons. And then I was just like, man, I'm watching these people catch these pythons. Like, that sounds fun. And for me, I'm like, dude, you're in a wheelchair. The last thing you should be thinking about doing for fun is hand grabbing a freaking python. But that's how I think. Like, I'm excited for that. Like, I was like, hell yeah, let's go. If it wraps around my chair, wraps around me, that is one hell of a way to go out. Can you imagine it on a gravestone? That is one hell of a way to go out. Like Steve Irwin was my idol, but if I go out, it's going to top you. I'm going to top him. You know, I got a one up, Steve. You know, that's a dream.
You got took out by a stingray, man. So you're going to get taken out by a python.
A python.
If I'm going to Florida, I'm going to chase Osceolas. I'm going hog hunting. and I'm going gator hunting. I ain't sticking my hand nowhere near no snakes. That's where I draw the line. I hate snakes.
Look, if you want to be successful, you got to stop playing it safe. You got to get in there. You just got to get after it.
Hey, I'll come video you, but shh.
Oh, I bet you won't. You see one of them 17-foot pythons at 5 feet away from you, you're like, shooting. Nope, back to the buggy.
Yep, I'm gone. Oh man, that's crazy. So what is your like number one like thing to hunt? Was it turkeys or is it something different now?
No, it's turkeys. I mean, I love turkeys. I got a passion for turkeys. You know, especially I could call them in my natural voice. You know, I love hearing the birds gobble. I love watching birds work. I mean, I love everything about turkey hunting. I mean, I look at turkey hunting like it's an art. Like it is. It takes skill. You're playing cat and mouse. I mean, like, you're trying to trick a bird to come to you, and you're disguising as a female. Like, you got to throw on a sausage. Man, some mornings, it's easy. Sometimes we kill them right off the roost 5 minutes into the hunt. Some mornings, you got to work that bird. You got to put it in the work. You got to put it in the hours. You got to chase them. You know, sometimes, like, I will get out of my wheelchair, and I will crawl on the bird if I need to. I just go after them, so... Turkeys is it's where it's at for me. I mean, it's one of those games. I mean, it's a love hate relationship for me because of my story. But man, I love being in those woods and just getting after them, hearing that bird gobble. That's music to my ears. You know, I tell people, I was like, man, turkey hunt is like dating. You go in a bar and you just figure out which one you call, and then you're playing a game of pickup lines. Every time you call to him, he's gonna say yes. Or he's going to turn the other way and he's going to find somebody else. You know, I love freaking turkey hunting. That's the best thing that God ever made.
Yeah, I think Will Primos, I think, said it best when he said, whatever you're hunting, you got to paint a picture.
Yep.
So if you're hunting turkeys, you got to paint that picture of, you know, that strutter coming in to that hen. You know, like he's coming in or whatever, you know, grunt when you're grunting at a deer, whether you want to fight him or whatever, like it's all about painting a picture. And that's like the greatest thing I think Will Primos has ever said. I mean, he's said a lot of things, but that's the one thing that's always stuck to me. You got to paint a picture. And I love turkey hunting. We got some great turkey hunting here in Kentucky, but I can't tell you how many turkeys I've missed. I mean, I've killed my fair share, but I've also missed my fair share. It's not as easy as it looks on TV. That's for sure.
That's why they call it hunting. If it wasn't that, it'd be killing. You know, it's right. A chase. You know, you can't get them every single time. But, man, it's fun when you get them. But when you miss them, it's like, dang, I should have done it. But now you didn't make them a little smarter. So now you're going to hunt them harder. I mean, it's a challenge. I mean, that's the sport of it. You know, for me, like I said, turkey hunting's it. But, man, I mean, I'm not a big deer hunter. I mean, I look at deer the same way I look at cattle. You know, I love deer. Don't get me wrong. I absolutely love deer and deer hunting. But, you know, my ADHD is so bad that I need something to chase and go after that's going to keep me moving. Because if I don't, I'm just going to sit and stand. And it's just like, man, playing on my phone, playing on my iPod, playing, like doing everything just to be somewhere else. Because, man, you're just sitting there. You're waiting. Like, I need to chase. So, for me, turkey hunting is a chase. And, you know, being here in Texas, man, you get to chase exotics. You get to chase down, you know, all kind of cool species of animals. So, yeah, anything that I can chase, I'm after it. But for turkeys, it's that gobble, man.
I heard that, man. I'm a big deer hunter. I love deer hunting, man. But the past, you know, 3 years, man, I've been bit with that waterfowl bug hard.
Oh, man.
It's – I cannot tell you, man, like, everybody that I talk to, you know, that hasn't ever been, you know, duck hunting or goose hunting, man, I'm like, just come with me one time and then you'll be hooked for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
I didn't think I'd be like that. My buddy Lance took me and I've been hooked ever since, man. I love waterfowl. Absolutely love it. It's one of them things, man, like it bit me hard and it ain't going nowhere no time soon.
I mean, waterfowl, it's got a lot of action to it. I mean, you can hang out with your buddies. I mean, I mean, I've been in some duck blinds where, I mean, it looks better than my apartment. I mean, just laid out.
Oh, yeah.
Microwave, you got a bed. I mean, the whole nine yards, you know. And sometimes, man, I think hunters just get lazy. The further we go on the stage, I think the lazier they get. I mean, we got trail cameras that send pictures to your phones. We got guns that can tell you how far the animal is and tell you where the dot is to shoot. I mean, we just, as hunters, we're getting a lot lazier. But, I mean, the sport is still freaking fun. No matter how lazy we can get, you know, the sport's still fun. You know, sitting in that duck blind and you got two heaters rolling 70 degrees inside the duck blind and it's negative 13 outside. You got bacon and eggs being cooked. I mean, when it's slow, you got the radio playing. You're hanging out with your boys. I mean, dude, that's like a guy's trip. Like,
yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
Duck hunting is a luxury sport, in my opinion.
Yeah, it is. It's like the way I explained it to my buddy. I said, we all went to college. I said, imagine me, you, and some buddies are basically just hanging out at the apartment, listening to music, and just shooting the shit with each other. I said, That's basically how a duck blind is, except it's cold and you're shooting ducks.
Yeah. And if you're on the X and those birds are coming in, you talk action.
Action. It's crazy, man. But yeah. I want to plan a big duck hunt next year to Arkansas or Oklahoma somewhere with my buddies, man. We got to find a place to go. It's one of them trips we've been planning forever and we just can't get our P's and Q's. But next year, or this year, I should say, the end of 25, it's going to happen. So.
Yeah, I'm actually leaving NWTF and I'm headed down to Arkansas to go do a conservation goose hunt for a couple of days. So I'm looking forward to sitting in a blind and just smoking geese. I mean, so like I said, I hadn't hunted since 2022 because of everything that went on, but this is going to be my first hunt, you know, back in action. And I'm laying in a pit with, I mean, I think, 10 shells in a chamber, and you're going to have over 100,000 geese coming over. Man, that's going to be a first time. That's going to be a welcome back hunt. And I'm excited about that. But Arkansas has the ducks. You know, that's going to be a fun hunt for me. And then after that, I come back to Texas and I do a conservation hunt where we have a certain number of doe tags. So we're going to do some doe hunts and some quail, and then we're going to do some hog hunting. So, you know, through the end of February, you know, I'm doing conservation hunts. You know, we need it. As hunters, we have to do conservation hunts. We have to take care of the wildlife, because if we know it's going to overpopulate and get sick and die out, you know, everything on this earth has a purpose. And the animals, they have a purpose to feed us. So we got to take care of them by doing conservation hunts. That's what we got to do to keep the place managed, keep the herd healthy, and, you know, keep food on the table for myself and other people.
That's right, man. Yeah, conservation hunts are a must, because them snow geese, man, they do some damage, like, you know, wild hogs do down in Texas. And, you know, we got to do our due diligence as hunters, man, to, you know, take some of them out. And what I love about it, you know, you take that plug out of your gun and you can shoot as many of them things as you want, man. I probably have a sore shoulder when I come back, but.
Oh, yeah.
I'm planning on one of them too. I definitely want to go on one. So,
yeah, man, it's going to be amazing. This is going to be my first one, but I've watched my guys down at Arkansas do it and how they set up and all that stuff. I mean, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. I mean, there's no need for me to call this time, and that's great. I can sit in the blind and not call. That's great for me. I can relax for a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I think in the snow goose world, you can use electronic calls, right?
Absolutely. In a conservation season, you can use electronic calls and just let it run. But, I mean, you have to run a lot of calls because, I mean, you're trying to mimic 100,000 birds on the field.
Right.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be loud, but it's going to be fun.
Yeah. Heck yeah, man. Well, I got one more thing planned for you right here, if you're down for it.
Now let's go.
I got a list of animals here.
All right. Let me get some water. All right.
All right. Mallard hen. Got you. Mallard Drake.
Oh, I don't know the difference in it. I don't know the difference in it. I just don't.
Okay, they do the Drake does the whistle.
Yeah, I'm not a dude. Whistle. I'll be completely honest with you. I am not a waterfowl hunter. I'm not.
I'll take the waterfowl off the list then.
I get lucky.
All right. Elk bugle.
That's easy. I got that. Oh, these people in this nursing home, they're going to kick me out of here. All right. So I'll start with a cow. Let me tell you a funny story while I do this, because I went elk hunting here in Texas a couple years ago. And my camera guy had to leave. His wife called him that she wanted to watch his football game. So he flew back home. So I was in the blind by myself in Texas. I look over and I see this bull elk on a ridge. So I call to it with a cow call. And the cow call goes, meow, 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 meow. Okay, so this elk is coming to me. I'm sitting in the blind. This elk comes over this ridge and he's right in front of me, probably 20, 30 yards. And I'm like, all right, cool. Like, this is freaking cool. I got this big bull elk, but I only had a cow tag. But I'm like, okay, I get to mimic and call this bull like I'm calling turkeys. Call to him again. So he looks at the blind. He goes, and just freaking bugles right at me in the blind. And I'm like, this is the coolest thing ever. Like, I'm like a kid in a candy store. So I cow call to him again. And in the back of my blind, there was two bull elk that came in from his bugle, and they walked in at the back of my blind and bugled at the back of my blind. I never freaking heard him coming. You're talking about making a paraplegic jump out of his chair. It scared the living daylights out of me.
Yeah, I bet that would be. Yeah. Not I mean, knowing it's back here.
Ear piercing, dude. I mean, it is ear piercing.
That's crazy. All right, I got two more.
Let's go.
Cow. Oh, yeah, he's a beast.
Man, this is after an hour and a half podcast. And I mean, my voice is, it's rough, right. But I mean, we're still kicking him out. Let's go.
All right. Turkey gobble.
All right. I'm going to do a hen and followed by a gobble.
All right. Hey, that man is a beast.
I appreciate it, man.
Dude, that's crazy, man. I can sit here and listen to you all night long.
Man, listen, we need to schedule a hunt and get in the blind, and let's go after it. Let's go find something to hunt.
I'm down, man. I'm absolutely down, man. But man, I cannot tell you how much I have enjoyed this podcast, and thank you so much for agreeing to be on this podcast with me, man. I think something that you said on this podcast somewhere is going to help somebody that's going through something right now in their lives. Your story alone is just incredible. It's remarkable in the way that you came through it and the way that you have the positive outlook on life that you do. It's just, it's heartwarming, man. It's it almost brings tears to your eyes, man. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate you, man. If you ever need anything from me, man, you got my phone number, you got my IG, you just let me know, man.
Man, I truly appreciate it. I really hope that there is something in this message that does touch somebody, reach somebody, inspire somebody to do something great. You know, if somebody tells you that you can't, they may not be able to do it themselves, but if you believe in yourself, you can get after it. Put your head down, grind it out, make it yours. Get addicted to winning. Go after it. Don't let anybody sideline you. If somebody tells you you can't, put a grin on your face and watch them. Let them show that you can. You know, I hope someone gets value out of this. But listen, I'm glad that you went your route. You make this podcast happen. You put your head down, you grind it out, and you did what you did. I remember you first reaching out to me asking about the podcast and starting it. And man, you're here. I'm proud of you. Congratulations.
I appreciate it, brother. That means a whole lot coming from you, man. Because, like I said, man, you are a big inspiration to me starting this, and I think you were actually the first person that I reached out to.
And you know, that's the thing. You know, a lot of people think, you know, just because you reach a fame status or thing like that, like you're not touchable. Yeah, just reach out. I mean, I'm just like you. I put my pants on every single day. Yeah, I got to get up, go to work, and down. I'm an average guy. My job is just cool.
Right.
There's no fame to it. My job is just cool, you know? So reach out, send a message. I'm happy to send something back. If I can help somebody, absolutely. I'll reply.
How can people get in touch with you if they want to ask you any questions or send you a message or anything?
All of my social media stats are Son of the South. If you go to my Instagram, it's at Son of the South TV. S-O-N of the South TV. And then on there, you can go to my profile and I have a link, and everything that I'm involved inside of is inside that link. And I'm involved inside of a lot of cool things. I'd love for you guys to get inside and look at it and get interested.
Awesome. Josh Carney, ladies and gentlemen, this podcast will be out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and my personal YouTube page. Make sure you give a like, subscribe, give a 5-star rating, 5-star review. Helps me with the podcast, helps the podcast out. And I appreciate y'all listening. I hope somewhere along the line on this podcast, it will help somebody to continue their journey and to never give up. So big game, small game, all game. We do this too.
Where's your playlist taking you? Down the highway? To the mountains? Or just into daydream mode while you're stuck in traffic? With over 4,000 hotels worldwide, Best Western is there to help you make the most of your getaway, wherever that is. Because the only thing better than a great playlist is a great trip. Life's the trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
This episode is brought to you by Peloton. Break through the busiest time of year with the brand new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus. Powered by Peloton IQ. With real-time guidance and endless ways to move, you can personalize your workouts and train with confidence, helping you reach your goals in less time. Let yourself run, lift, sculpt, push, and go. Explore the new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus at onepeloton.com.
President's Day savings are happening now at the Home Depot with up to 40% off select appliances. Looking to upgrade your fridge? Check out LG's newest model, serving up ice in all kinds of styles. Cube, crushed, craft ice, and now new mini craft ice straight from the dispenser. From cold brew to fizzy favorites, these refrigerators will have you entertaining like a pro. Shop President's Day savings and get up to 40% off, plus free delivery on select appliances like LG at the Home Depot. Free delivery on appliance purchases of $1,498 or more. Offer valid February 5th through the 25th. U.S. only. See store online for details.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.